Let's get to our friend Casey Stern. He's awesome. NBA on TNT host. Wow, well, the last couple of days he's had a little bit of a break. Probably happy that series was a sweep in retrospect because it gave him some breathing room. And, of course, you see him on MLB on TBS as well. Casey, it's great to have you on. How are you?
What's going on? How are you, Javi? Good morning to you.
Yeah, we're super. We were saying it's one thing in Toronto, and I'm sure other Eastern Conference teams are realizing this. They finally get LeBron out of the conference. But because of who Boston is, what they have, what the infrastructure is, the age of their players, doesn't feel like they're any closer potentially to the NBA final. This is the Celtics conference to lose, isn't it?
It is. I think, you know, it's still going to be comforting for Toronto after what LeBron did to them, making it LeBronto, if you will, all those years. I think it's going to help not having to face him in the playoffs just because mentally that team was beating itself just seeing him across the floor. So I think they'll feel like their eyes light up. You know, sometimes I've talked to hitters in the past where you'll face an ace and just, you know, when he gets off the mound, it may be the greatest closer in the game, but it's just somebody different. So I think it'll still help mentally for Toronto and a lot of these teams that he's gone. But yeah, I think Boston's a team to beat. I mean, the one caveat to that would be if Philadelphia, you know, could have gotten a Kawhi or could land a guy like that to put him with a healthy Embiid, Simmons, who still needs to work on getting a jump shot. They've got some good players, Saric, Covington. You brought back Redick on a one-year deal. But when you look at Boston and all the talent they have and the fact that they did everything they did without Kyrie Irving and without Gordon Hayward, I don't know how you look at anybody else but the favorites. I would go on to say, you know, I don't know what with Boogie Cousins now, maybe not. But the Celtics, you know, if they're the team they saw last year and we watch an improved Tatum and a growing Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier and the Kyrie who's going out to market trying to get paid,
yeah,
and they all come together, that's a team that could compete in the finals, let alone just win the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. And it's the Boogie signing is very interesting because you don't know what his health is going to be like. Coming back from an injury like that is very, very difficult. The Warriors obviously have proven they don't need him at all, really. So if he doesn't end up panning out, they can kind of cut their losses. They'll still be fine. But a team like Boston, who's young, fast, athletic, they almost play fearless. That's an interesting matchup in theory with the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean, look, if Boogie Cousins is healthy down the stretch into the playoffs, this will not only be the best Warriors team that we've seen, this will be the best team that we've seen. I mean, that is end of story. I mean, look, I watched the Celtics in the 80s, and it was a different time period. Mm-hmm. I watched the Lakers and the Showtime Lakers. We saw, you know, clearly all the great Spurs teams. We know about LeBron in Miami and in Cleveland. But when you look at this team, you're talking about five All-Stars, and Boogie Cousins is, when he's, you know, playing without his, you know, head being in the wrong spot, is the best center in basketball. So you got a team that doesn't need a center, that's played Draymond Green a lot of times on the floor when it's may go small, yeah, at the five, that now just added the best center in the league. That team will be absolutely, without a doubt, unbeatable. There will not be another team that has even a chance if he's healthy going into the playoffs.
Casey Stern, our guest, 819, Brady and Price with Greg Brady, Ashley docking in for Elliot this morning. Was an L.A. stop for LeBron because of the brand, of his brand, his mogul status, if you will, was that always inevitable? Or did you think when he signed with Cleveland, well, that's it, this is the homecoming, this is him staying? Miami was pretty predictable, Casey, in 2010 with Wade already there, and we obviously had rumors about Bosch going here halfway through that 09-10 season. But did you think he'd stay in Cleveland the rest of his career when he got back there?
I think it depended if he won a championship. I think if he hadn't won in 16, he might still try and work it to get there. I think once he won the championship, you knew he'd leave. And I think that was a foregone conclusion. The question was where. Over the last couple of years, guys, it seemed an inevitability that he would end up on the Lakers. I guess the only part that surprised me is we all felt that he wouldn't be the first guy, that either a Paul George or a Kawhi Leonard getting traded there, somebody else would go to the Lakers first, and that would be how he ended up there. He would follow suit. Because remember, the Miami situation, to your point, you know, Dwayne Wade at the height of his career was there, and Bosch was going to come with him. So it surprises me a little bit that he's willing to wait, because he's going to spend a year where they're going to be like a 5 or 6 seed in the conference and go out pretty early in the playoffs. But he's willing to help these kids learn. I think it's an evaluation year, almost like LeBron's the GM, Can Lonzo Ball play with me? Can Kuzma play with me? Can Ingram play with me? And they're going to, as the year goes on, I think, start to try and figure out. And the other part that nobody talks about is, yeah, how does he fit in with Luke Walton? I know he loves him now. You know, they got drafted in the same year. We know about LeBron. He doesn't love the coaches that he plays for sometimes. So how does that all work out will be a question as well.
They are super, super high on Kuzma. Do you think that it was more the Lakers that cooled on George and said, are we going to give him all of Kyle Kuzma's responsibilities and time, a player 7-8 years old? Are we doing that when Kuzma may evolve into – it's a big statement to say Kyle Kuzma might become as good as Paul George or better. But they see that in him, don't they? He's the one guy that we've heard is – that they would move Ingram. They might even move Ball. They're not trading Kyle Kuzma.
They love Kyle Kuzma, but they definitely wanted Paul George. Paul George surprised everybody by being loyal to – look, one of the biggest things that gets missed – there's been such a crazy few days, guys – is the statement that was made about Russell Westbrook as a teammate. Everybody can say what they want. We've all said it. Shoots too much, end of the game, this, that, the other thing, whatever you want about Russell. But when all was said and done for Paul George, he didn't invest in Oklahoma City. He didn't invest in, you know, just the money, because he would have gotten paid anywhere. He invested in Russell Westbrook and wanted to stay and wanted to be a part of it. I mean, they're on stage at a Russell Westbrook party, you know, laughing and hugging about him staying there. And you know, that relationship is why he ended up there, because he would have gotten paid somewhere else. So for me, I think that's what kind of surprised the Lakers and everybody else, because the foregone conclusion was that Paul George wanted to go home. Now, here's the interesting part about this, where I think this is important. Everybody's saying if Kawhi got traded, that it makes no sense for the other team because there's only 1 year left on his deal and he's going to go to the Lakers. That's the same thing everybody said when Paul George.
Yeah.
The Thunder. So if you go to the right team and a right franchise, and Kawhi were to go to Philadelphia and he enjoyed it and they won the Eastern Conference and they're willing to go max him out, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't trade. Teams that are too afraid to trade for guys in the final year, I think it's a mistake, because Paul George proved no one would have thought, no offense to Oklahoma City, that at that place, let alone anywhere else, a guy from L.A. who could go home and get paid would want to stay there, but he did.
And just a quick point, Houston did that with Chris Paul, and it paid off. I mean, it's a lot of money. It may be a bad contract in a couple of years, but they want to take one more. They probably go to the finals if he stays healthy.
No, I'm so glad you said that, because that was my point earlier about Kawhi. Everyone's like, he's just a rental. He's only going to stay for a little while, but you never know. And when these players find themselves in a situation that's comfortable for them, some cases when they're able to be the star and have the limelight, if that's what they're looking for, they don't want to risk going to a new market, trying to gel with new teammates, trying to deal with a different front office if they don't know what they're going to expect and they've enjoyed the experience that they've had, even if it's just for 1 year.
I always say the same thing, just to tack onto that, you know, covering baseball at the trade deadline. You know, people talk about rentals. To me, a rental always makes more sense if there's a chance that you could re-sign them. And if the St. Louis Cardinals go out and get somebody and bring them into town, They got 2 or 3 months to go sell, you know, the city of St. Louis as a baseball town. David Price, when he went to Toronto, and had that 9-1 season until he, you know, kind of exploded in the playoffs. You know, there are situations where you try and see whether or not guys fit in. So I'm with you. Look, I would be all over Kawhi. I think if the Philadelphia 76ers were to get Kawhi, I think they'd be the best team in the Eastern Conference. I don't think people realize or remember how great a player he is, because he never speaks, he's not marketable, and he's really boring. And because of all of that, not as a player, but as a, you know, in terms of as a talker,
just as a human,
in a league,
Casey,
it's all about brand. Yeah. So, you know, but he's a top five player in the league. I mean, that's how good he is. He's the best player. They've got Embiid, they've got Ben Simmons. If they get Kawhi, Kawhi's the best player on that team.
You're a great person for coming on this morning, because I'm also, rumors online tell us you're a New York Islanders fan, so sorry.
I am a diehard freakish for 30 some odd years Islander fan.
You've died hard a lot in the last 20, like more than Bruce Willis in the last 27 years.
I have. We've come back to life a few times, but look, I'll say this in short, I'm representing rational fans of this team. John Tavares did everything he could have done. Was he perfect? You know, that cap series after they beat Florida, was he great in the game seven? No. Were there times where, you know, he ducked in and out during the course of the season and had slumped short? They all do. But he also made careers out of guys like P.A. Parenteau and Matt Molson and Kyle Okposo? And where are these? Brad Boyes resurrected his career. This guy made every single line mate he ever had 10 times better, including just getting Josh Bailey a 6-year contract. When Josh Bailey was a guy that Islander fans would have sold for a pack of cigarettes about 2 years ago. So I wish him the best. Nothing but, to me, it wasn't about Lou. It was about Garth. I mean, you know, too many years of BS, not enough sold. I can't blame the kid from going home. It's painful because the Islander organization now is in turmoil, but I wish him the best.
We got these bums here, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. I hope he makes them better. I really do. I hope he can.
What about William?
Yeah. How do you make wine out of water? Casey, great having you on as always. Thanks for your insight.
Anytime, guys.